From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. It's Here and Now. The 12 men and women shot and killed yesterday at the U.S. Navy Yard in Washington, D.C. are being remembered today. A lone trumpeter played taps this morning at the Navy Memorial in the nation's capital as Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel and Navy Secretary Ray Mabus placed a wreath there in honor of the victims.
Police have released the names of 7 of the 12 who died, 5 men and 2 women, ranging in age from 46 to 73. Among them, Michael Arnold, a former Navy captain and an avid pilot who was building a light airplane.
Arthur Daniels was a grandfather of 9 who had been installing furniture yesterday at the Navy Yard.
And Kathleen Gard, a financial analyst who is remembered as a loving wife, mother, and a devoted hockey fan.
As they and the other victims are mourned, local and federal officials are continuing their investigation. We're also learning more about the suspected gunman, Aaron Alexis, a 34-year-old civilian contractor and former Navy reservist. NPR's Daniel Zwerdling is covering the story and joins us now. And Danny, a complicated picture of this man is emerging. What have you learned in your reporting about Aaron Alexis?
The more we learn about him today, the more we're getting a picture of a guy who was already deeply troubled years ago. As you've probably heard by now, he was sometimes violent. He had several run-ins with police, but he apparently did a good job skating away from those encounters. And people who worked with him just earlier this year, a few months ago, at a little Thai restaurant in Fort Worth, and people who ate there and were waited on by him, they say Aaron Alexis was a sweet, that's a word they use, sweet, smart, nice guy. But first, some basics. He grew up in New York. He lived with his mother in a small apartment in Queens. He joined the Navy in 2007. He trained to be an airline mechanic, but then he left only 4 years later.
And we understand that he was discharged from the Navy in January 2011. What's known about the circumstances of that?
You know, we don't know much about it, but a military official talked with my colleague Tom Bowman today, and he told Tom that the Navy basically wanted to push Alexis out of the Navy because they said he wasn't making it as a sailor. He had unauthorized absences. They charged him with insubordination. Now, the record shows they gave him an honorable discharge, which sounds good, but the official told Tom it was time for him to go.
Danny, there are reports that Alexis may have suffered from mental illness. Can you tell us anything about that?
You know, CNN is reporting right now that he contacted VA hospitals for help. They cite unnamed military sources. We cannot confirm that, but let's go back about 10 years. It turns out, now this is very interesting, it turns out that one of our colleagues here at NPR, Gene Demby, the blogger with NPR's Code Switch, mm-hmm. he was good friends with one of Alexis's sisters. And we're going back now 10, 11 years ago. So Gene would hang out in their apartment, and he says that when he would come over, Alexis, who is now in his early 20s, would basically be lying on the couch. And he says, Alexis was an odd, uncomfortable guy. Let's play a clip.
Yeah, he was an awkward guy. He was definitely an awkward guy. I remember, like, when I would go to Queens to visit my girlfriend at her mother's house, he would be there on the couch playing video games. He'd be playing Grand Theft Auto, I remember. And that's always what he seemed to be doing when I saw him. He didn't seem to have many friends. He seemed like anyone who didn't have a lot of experience having friends or being really social. I mean, he seemed like kind of maladjusted.
And Sasha, then a couple years later, Gene heard from one of the sisters that their brother had basically flipped out one day in Seattle. Here's what happened. This is back in 2004. The Seattle police say that Alexis apparently went into a rage because a couple construction workers had parked their car in a driveway next to his house. So he took a Glock pistol and he shot their tires. Police arrested him. And Alexis told them the workers had mocked him and disrespected him. And he said, this is the words in the police report, he had a blackout fueled by anger. And Alexis's father told the police something interesting. He said that his son had anger management problems and that the family thought they were related to his post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, we can't confirm any diagnosis, but the point seems to be that Alexis's own family thought he was having mental health problems.
And so there's that previous gun incident, but as we and other media outlets have been reporting, that wasn't the only incident involving Aaron Alexis and guns.
That's right. Then around 1 year later, a few years later, he was in Fort Worth. He shot a gun that went through his ceiling in an apartment complex, narrowly missed the woman living above him. And when the police came, he said, and I'm reading from the police report here, he said he was trying to clean his gun while cooking and that his hands were slippery. His hands slipped and pulled the trigger, discharging around into the ceiling. Now, the police arrested him, then let him go. But the woman told them she was terrified of Alexis.
And Danny, you have reported extensively on how the U.S. military has handled mental health issues among service members and among veterans. Especially given that context, how are military officials responding to yesterday's shooting?
They definitely have gotten the message that when there's this kind of violent tragedy, people need emotional support. So they rounded people up who had been in Building 197 yesterday, sent them to the stadium, and provided counselors.
That's NPR's Daniel Zwerdling. Danny, thanks for talking with us.
Sasha, thank you.